Welcome to the Deep Dive. Okay, today let's unpack how companies actually make smart capital investment decisions. Think about, say, a firm pushing into commercial space travel. They're looking at a new engine, maybe. How do they decide where to put the millions? We're diving into your sources on making capital investment decisions to pull out the really useful stuff.
Yeah, and what's fascinating, I think, is getting past just the formulas. It's about the common mistakes people make, the psychology behind it all. We'll really focus on how to find those essential cash flows and, dodge the pitfalls, whether it's a huge space project or just a cost-cutting update.
Okay, so if we're looking at something massive like a new propulsion system, where do you even start? How do you know which costs, which revenues actually count? It feels like it could spiral.
That's the key, isn't it? Relevant incremental cash flows. That's your starting point. You're only looking at the difference the project makes to the company's overall cash, just the
The
change.
change, right?
And the standalone principle helps massively here. You basically pretend the project is its own little mini company.
Like putting a fence around it.
Exactly. It stops you from getting bogged down in the entire company's finances. You just look at the project itself.
That makes sense. But then there are those mental traps, like sunk costs. It just feels wrong to ignore money you've already spent, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It feels completely wrong, and that's why it's such a common trap. People fall into that escalation of commitment. They think, we spent so much already. But that money for, say, initial research on a failed design, it's gone. Poof.
Yeah.
Irrelevant to the next decision.
Okay, so sunk costs are out. But what about opportunity costs, like using land the company already owns?
Right. Now, those are relevant,
Yeah.
very relevant. If you use that land for your new test facility, you could have sold it. That potential selling price you gave up, that's a real cost to this project. You didn't get free land.
Got it. So direct costs, check. Opportunity costs, check. What about like the ripple effects, side effects?
Crucial. You have to account for side effects. Think about erosion or cannibalization. Maybe your awesome new engine makes people stop buying your slightly older, still profitable engine.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a cost.
That lost profit is a direct negative side effect of the new project. But side effects can be good too, like maybe a cheap part for the engine leads to selling tons of high-margin maintenance services later.
Okay, so watch for ripples, good and bad. And you mentioned something else to definitely exclude.
Yes, financing costs. Things like interest payments, don't mix those in.
Why not? Seems like a real cost.
It is, but it's about how you pay for the project, not if the project itself is a good investment based on its own operations. Keep those decisions separate.
Ah, okay. Investment decision versus financing decision.
Exactly. And always, always look at after-tax cash flows. Taxes are real cash leaving the building. You can't ignore them.
So the sources then talk about building pro forma statements to get to operating cash flow, OCF. That sounds like the core number.
It really is. OCF is like the project's pure operational cash generation. Before you worry about loans or anything, you basically take EBIT earnings before interest and taxes add back depreciation.
Because that's not actual cash going out the door.
Right. It's an accounting expense, but not a cash flow. So add back depreciation, then subtract the actual cash taxes you'll pay. That's your OCF. That's the number you plug into your NPV calculation. Positive NPV. Green light.
Simple enough in theory. What about networking capital, NWC? How does that fit in?
Good point. Often gets missed. NWC is things like needing more inventory or parts for the new engine. Maybe accounts receivable go up. It's usually an upfront investment cash outflow at the start.
Like a short-term loan to the project.
Sort of, yeah. But the key is you usually get most of it back when the project ends. You sell off the inventory, collect receivables. So it's a temporary use of cash, impacts timing, but it's not gone forever like an expense.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, depreciation, you said add it back because it's non-cash, but it still
Yeah.
matters. Feels a bit confusing.
It's confusing but critical because it affects your taxes. Depreciation itself isn't cash, but it reduces your taxable income. Less tax means more cash stays in your pocket. It's a tax shield.
Ah, the tax shield.
Right. And current tax law uses MACRS. It puts assets into classes, like maybe machinery's 5-year or 7-year class. It dictates how quickly you can deduct the cost, often faster than the asset actually wears out. It ignores salvage value for calculation purposes.
And didn't the rules change recently? Something about bonus depreciation?
Yes. Until 2022, there was 100% bonus depreciation for many assets. Companies could deduct the entire cost in year one.
Wow, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Huge immediate tax saving, massive boost to first-year cash flow. It absolutely influenced when companies invested to grab that benefit.
You can see how tax policy really steers these big decisions. Okay, so beyond the main calculations, are there tools for specific situations? Like setting a price.
Definitely. Setting a bid price isn't just guesswork. You calculate the lowest price you can charge for something, maybe building that engine component for someone else so the project's APV is exactly zero.
The break-even investment point.
Precisely. Very useful in competitive bids. And another one, comparing projects with unequal lives.
Like choosing between two machines that last different amounts of time.
Exactly. You can't just compare their total costs. You need the equivalent annual cost, EAC. It basically turns all the costs of each machine into an equivalent yearly cost, like finding the annual payment on a loan.
So you can compare fairly, year by year, apples to apples.
Apples to apples. Otherwise, yeah, you're comparing a 2-year cost stream to a 5-year one. Doesn't work.
So pulling this all together, what's the big takeaway from making these calls, especially for those ambitious long-shot projects? It seems this deep dive gives you the toolkit to really scrutinize the numbers that matter.
It does. But the insight, I think, is that the tools only work if your inputs are solid. It all comes back to identifying those true incremental cash flows accurately. Get that wrong, and even the fanciest analysis is just, well, garbage in, garbage out. You have to question the assumptions constantly.
Something to chew on then. With things like bonus depreciation changing, maybe even disappearing in some places, but not others, how might big multinational companies shift where they decide to invest in R&D or build new facilities to chase those tax benefits?
Keep digging.